Grace and peace be with you all, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've all seen plenty of these in the last week. A wrapped gift. And there's no doubt that when it comes to Christmas time, there's a lot of expectation and joy that comes along with the gift. And part of that joy is in not knowing what's inside. Not being able to see it for the moment. But sometimes our expectation can rise or fall based on the nature of the gift as well. For example, if I told you that I just wrapped this gift this very morning, there might be some joy and expectation that would come along with that. I'm sure you'd want to know what was inside. But if I told you that this gift was wrapped 2,000 years ago and it has never been opened, well, there'd be a lot more expectation to go along with that. And in a similar way, what we see from the Apostle John this morning is that he opens up the gift of Jesus Christ born for us in God's Word. A gift that was long expected. A gift that was waited for with great anticipation. And we see the substance of that gift in our portion of God's Word today from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Dear fellow redeemed of Christ, when you consider the Christmas story, the theme of record keeping was quite prominent, probably more than we would think. We're all familiar with the way that Luke chapter 2 began. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. A very major geopolitical event at the birth of Christ was conducted by the Roman Empire, a census of basically what was the known world at that time. God had his own records as well, though, in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 1, God lists the complete genealogy of Jesus dating back to the time of Abraham. Now, we might think to ourselves, that's nice, but think about it from the perspective of the Jewish believer. For the Old Testament Jewish believer, or the early New Testament Jewish believer, connecting the Savior to Abraham was absolutely critical. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. God gave Abraham the promise that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would number the stars. And so in their mind, knowing that history, having that as a part of their culture, that God would give them that record was extremely important. Luke chapter 3 contains another genealogy, this time tracing Jesus back to Adam in the garden. Talk about an important genealogy for all humanity. Now, though we don't often read the genealogies around Christmas time, we shouldn't discount how important they are for our faith, as they give us the historical record of God's plan of salvation throughout the ages. Today, as we consider a portion from the Apostle John on the life and work of Jesus, we see that John provides another record of sorts. This is not a genealogy. This is not a census of peoples. No, what John gives us here is more like the birth certificate of Jesus Christ. John's purpose is very simple. He wants to verify that Jesus has indeed been born into the world. Now, we know that if you've ever read the Gospel of John or even the first epistle of John here, you know it's not that simple. There's a lot more to it. Jesus was not just born. There was a lot that came along with that too. But every point that John makes ultimately comes back to that one singular moment that Jesus Christ was born. John's point is that if we take out that one event, if that never happened, then nothing else that John writes about has any importance for our lives. And so John puts down the birth certificate of Jesus Christ, the verification that Jesus was born. Now, a birth certificate is an important document of its own. It talks about the name of the individual, maybe how big or how long they were when they were born, maybe the date and location of birth, the parents' names. It provides valuable information. It's a document that can be used later on in life to verify a person's existence, be used for other important purposes. But really, in the grand scheme of things, a birth certificate's a very simple thing. It's really just one sheet of paper with some details about a person's life. But imagine if a birth certificate gave you more information. Imagine if this birth certificate not only told you who the individual was, but went on to describe who they would become, what they would go on to do in the world, what kind of job they would have, what they would accomplish in the world. Furthermore, imagine if that document could tell you about your relationship with that person. What future memories would you have with them? What things would you do together? How would that person make you feel throughout your life as well? That's what we get with the Apostle John's record. He doesn't just give us the bare facts and details of Jesus' birth. He tells us even more. He describes what Jesus would go on to do. He gives us detail about Jesus' greatest work, making propitiation for the sins of the world. But even more than that, John tells us what that means for you today. For those of us gathered here today, the life and work of Jesus still impacts us just as much as it did for anybody at that immediate time. That would be something indeed to have a record like that. John not only wrote a gospel account of Jesus' life, but he provided these three letters about the meaning of Jesus' work for believers, and especially for New Testament believers like us. John wrote in a way that brings us back to the birth of Christ. And so John takes the time today to show us the evidence of what happened, to verify that account for our lives and help us see the effect of that for our faith. Listen to the opening words of John's first letter in chapter 1 and how much he emphasizes evidence. He writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." From the very opening verses of this letter, John's point is clear. He wants you, the reader, to have a verified record of the birth of Jesus Christ. As he says, he wants you to see what he saw. He wants you to hear what he heard. One of the ways that John got his point across as he continued the rest of the letter was to talk about this manifestation of Jesus. The idea behind this word is to make known something that was long held as a mystery, or in terms of a visual example, to uncover something that was hidden. When we think about Christmas time, what John is doing is he's unwrapping the gift for us. He's showing us what God has promised and how God has delivered on that promise. That is the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a twofold approach by John in using this word, which comes up six times in his letter, including verse 9 of our text. On the one hand, for the Old Testament believer, the manifestation of Jesus Christ was a critical element for their faith. They were the ones waiting for thousands of years for God to fulfill his promise. They were the ones that held on to the words of God that spoke about individuals like Abraham in that genealogy. They were waiting, going back with the expectation all the way back to Adam and Eve when the first gospel promise was given. Without the manifestation of the Messiah, without God making that known to the world, the Old Testament believers' faith would have counted for nothing. There would have been no substance behind it. The people's expectation flowed from God's promise. It flowed from God's word. It wasn't just a wishy-washy idea that they came up with as a culture. It was deeply connected to what God had deliberately promised to them. When you understand this about the faith of the Old Testament believers, we today can go back and look in the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry and see how Jesus made deliberate attempts to connect himself with this visible manifestation of the Messiah. For example, in Luke 10, verse 24, Jesus states openly, he says, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and to hear what you hear, but have not seen it and have not heard it." Jesus is reminding the people who stood before him and witnessed him in his bodily form, many, many people waited a long time for this manifestation, to see and hear what you are able to. In another instance, Jesus would connect his physical presence on earth with the Old Testament prophecies directly. For example, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus opens up the scroll of the Old Testament and reads from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61 of Isaiah. And Jesus finishes those verses and then concludes by saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is telling them with that, "I am the revealed Son of God. You are seeing it. You are hearing it. This is no longer a mystery. This is no longer shrouded in prophecy. This is no longer covered in expectation. But God has now made it open and clear for all to witness." And John is connecting us in this letter with that same gift for our lives. He's connecting us with that same expectation that the Old Testament believers had. And he's telling us today, Jesus has been born. God has opened these gifts for you. We know that the visible and audible witness of Christ himself was only for a very short time, especially when you compare it to all of history. Many people did see him, many people did hear him, but many, many more did not. And John is aware of this reality. And so he's speaking not only to the Old Testament believer, but to the New Testament believer as well, to the ones like us who live after the events of our Savior. John wants you to be able to rely on his eyewitness testimony. So that, as he writes, this is the purpose, that you may have fellowship with us. Today, more than ever, people want irrefutable proof of the claims of Christianity. They want evidence. And the birth of Jesus around Christmas time, although it touches a lot of people, is not exempt from the criteria of the world in this way. Many modern eyes see Christmas as nothing more than a fable or a myth. Many modern ears hear the Christmas story in the Bible as nothing more than a fairy tale, perhaps right up there with Santa and Rudolph. But John takes that record and he sets it straight for our lives. Jesus was manifested to the world. God revealed his Son, not in theory, but in natural birth. And John says, "I'm giving you the record of that. I'm giving you the birth certificate of that." And therefore, we can claim that Christianity, our faith, is not blind, but is based on the absolute Word of God. John was not just addressing people in the Old Testament who wanted to believe by faith, religious people we might call them, but John was also addressing the reasonable skeptic of his day and age that wanted evidence. The ones that would see the world only through reason and logic. And John provides a witness to both. We see that come out in the very first verse again of his letter, where John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have seen and heard with our eyes and ears, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." And again, John capitalizes word in reference to Jesus. Makes us think of John 1 verse 1, doesn't it, in his gospel account, when he opened there by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." By defining Jesus as the Word, John is connecting both of those groups of people with the expectation and the effect of our Savior Jesus Christ. Whether you come from a spiritual perspective, whether you come from a skeptical perspective, John helps connect Jesus to your life by that one title. On the one hand, as the Word, Jesus is the fulfillment of God's prophecies, of God's promises, which God delivered, right, by words in His Scripture. Today, even as well, for the New Testament believer, Jesus continues to be the Word as He speaks to us and uses us and affects our lives through His Word. He promises to work through that. But John also wrote to the Greek culture. And that word employed by John here was logos, which is where our English word logic comes from. It is true on the one hand that the logos can refer to individual words that are spoken, to the passages of God's word, we might call it. And we see Jesus as the Word incarnate in the sense that He works through the Word. He is present. He is active through those things. But the Greek idea of logos also means the effect of those words, the end result of using those words. For the Greek individual, this idea of the logos was the end-all, be-all of wisdom. And Greeks would use philosophy and rhetoric to try to achieve that wisdom, to try to achieve that deeper meaning and purpose for their lives. And so when John connects Jesus as the logos, he's also connecting Him not just as the way to salvation, but the end-all, be-all of salvation. Jesus is the wisdom from God. Jesus is the deeper meaning of life, just as much as He speaks truth by the individual words from the Bible that we use. And the critical point for our lesson today is that Jesus has been revealed by God as the Word, and He is manifest for all through His birth. This is truly an amazing lesson from the Apostle John on the impact of the Christmas story for our lives today. But John adds one more miraculous truth: how Jesus impacts our birth into God's kingdom. What a strange thing it would be, again, for a birth certificate to go down in great detail of all the future events that that child would go on to do, especially as it relates to you. But this is what John provides for us as he testifies about the birth of Jesus. Just as with the word manifest, helping us see the physical birth of Jesus, so John uses the word born to refer to that effect in our lives. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." The Christmas message is not just one of expectation, but because the gift has been opened, God has been revealed, it is also a message of effect. Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem and went on to go and accomplish everything that He promised to do, to live in complete righteousness in our place, to fulfill all of the standards of God's moral law, to suffer and die for the sins that we committed and earned for our lives, All of that started with his birth in Bethlehem. And because Jesus did those things, we have the promise of a rebirth in God's kingdom by faith in Jesus. That's why John says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. John connects this spiritual truth that is so dear and precious to our faith to the physical birth of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we think of what John is opening up here in his word, what John is revealing, what comes into view when the gift is unwrapped, it's not just a manifestation of Jesus as the Savior, but it's a manifestation of you as well as children of God. For when Jesus accomplished his work, and it was received into your heart by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, you became, for the first time in your life, what God designed and created you to be in holiness and perfection. The Bible describes that as putting on the new self by faith, which is created in righteousness and holiness and comes to us through the work of Jesus. And so this Christmas, think not only of the making known of Jesus in Bethlehem by his birth, but how God has manifested to us true life and salvation in our lives, that we may see it and believe it as well. God sets the record straight by the Apostle John by giving us this birth certificate of Jesus. The gospel was built on expectation, and now from it flows the effect of Christ's gracious work. May that be ever present in our lives and in our hearts as we continue to use the Word of God to build our confidence, faith, and trust that Jesus is our Savior. Amen. Please rise.